Do you realize how little the world really knows about the true issue of the gospel? My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. In these words of the Lord Jesus Christ, as he spoke them, and as they are recorded in the Gospel of John in the 18th chapter and the 36th verse, is pointed out a very real and important truth. The real fact of the matter is that the Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ refers to something that did not start in this world, is not going to end in this world, and operates right now with forces and factors that are not of this world. When the Lord Jesus refers to his kingdom, he is referring to everything that he is doing as the Son of God, all that which is under his control and his direction. You and I, when we are born again, are born into the kingdom as members of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and under his control and government, under his rule. The Lord himself said that flesh and blood shall not enter the kingdom of God, shall not see the kingdom of God. And Paul, in writing about this in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, says that flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God. But let it be for the moment, all we will have time to mention here just now is that what the Lord Jesus Christ himself is doing, what he does in the gospel, and that means what he does in me and what he's doing in you and what he'll do in anybody in the gospel, does not start from this world, does not end in this world, is not actually carried on by the power of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. He goes on to say, if my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. This brings to our mind a constant problem for those of us who would witness for the gospel and teach the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. The world simply does not understand the gospel. They have an idea that what we as Christians are committed to do is to help them to improve the world. That's not the point at all. Our particular mission, so far as this world is concerned, is to seek and to save the lost. We are actually calling men to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we were to relate ourselves to the world at all, we're moving out into the world to call men to be saved out of the world is the very point. And someone would say, well, aren't you actually thinking in terms of trying to help the world? Not that much. We'd try and help the people. We'd be glad to do things for the people. But I would say, with reference to trying to help the world, it's a good deal like a crew going out in a lifeboat to save people who are on a sinking ship. And if you can think of a ship sinking at sea in an angry storm and a crew mastering a lifeboat to go out there and save those people, they don't take along a can of paint to paint the ship that's going down. They're not going to try and fix it up just because it's sinking. Or a good deal like this. If you have firemen coming to an apartment house and they're going to try and save some children on the third floor, and they're going up there for the express purpose of getting those children out on the third floor, you don't think they're going to take up some window polishing as material so that when they get up there they can polish the windows. They're not going to improve the house that they're going to win those people out of, save those people out of. And that's exactly what I mean. I mean exactly that, so far as this world is concerned. We're not going to take it with us. It doesn't belong to us. We're passing through it here as strangers and pilgrims. I realize that what I have said could be overstated and could be exaggerated in the way in which you would think that we wouldn't do anything so far as this world is concerned. We'll leave a good testimony. We'll be active in all good works. But believe me, the kingdom of God is not of this world, did not originate in this world, is not going to wind up in this world, is not operating now by this world. The common confidence of the public, which enables them to feel perfectly free, and they feel perfectly able to evaluate the church, to criticize the church, to judge the church, and to direct the church without hesitation, feeling adequate to do this thing, is based on the idea that they know what the gospel's about, and they're wrong. They don't really know. The mystery of the gospel is not in the outward results. I know that everybody would like to see love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, self-control, and faith. Who wouldn't want that? Everybody would want that, and that is the fruit of the Spirit, and that is the end toward which the Holy Spirit works in our hearts, and such things do result from our belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ. But the gospel does not mean that you can produce that kind of results by training and educating human nature in this world's affairs. Actually, that's the fruit of the Spirit. And so I say the mystery of the gospel, the real hidden truth of the gospel, is not in the outward excellence of its virtues. It lies in how the gospel works, how the gospel operates, what actually is being done. And this comes out when you find this here, as we read now in this Gospel of John about the Lord Jesus Christ when he made the statement, "My kingdom is not of this world," did not originate in this world, isn't part of this world. If it were in this world, then my servants would fight for me in this world, but it isn't, and so they won't fight about it. Now notice in this portion we're going to be reading, we're in chapter 18. If you have your Bibles with you, and for these few moments, open up the Gospel of John in chapter 18, and I want you to notice verses 28 to 36, when the issue came up to really ask the Lord Jesus what he was really doing so far as this world is concerned. We read in verse 28, "Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment." They took him from the high priest's court, took him over to Pilate's court. Remember, the high priest was Jewish, and Pilate was a Roman governor. They took him out of the ecclesiastical court of the religious court of the Jews to take him over to the political and civil court of the Romans, and we'll see in a moment why. And it was early. They themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled. The Jews would not go into the Pilate's courtroom because it was the Passover, coming direct to the Feast of the Passover, and they would not go into a Gentile residence or into any place that was belonged to the Gentiles. And this will make you smile. I hope it won't make you feel worse than that. It could make you even cynical. These people were so careful about their conduct that they wouldn't go into that courtroom for fear they'd be unclean. And all the time they were planning the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that shocking? They were so anxious not to break any of the little rules, but they were actually planning the death of Jesus of Nazareth. It makes you think about the chief priests who got Judas to betray the Lord. You will remember they hired Judas and paid him 30 pieces of silver to betray the Lord. When Judas then came back to them and told them he'd made a mistake and he wanted to go back on his bargain and brought them back the 30 pieces of silver, when they wouldn't take them, Judas threw down the 30 pieces of silver and went out and hanged himself. Then they had to face about this money. And there's quite an interesting, if not almost amusing, story about how they tried to figure out what to do with the money. They were just too pure to take the money that was lying there, so they decided to buy a pauper's field to bury the poor in, because there was a law that said something about that money. And isn't that strange? They had actually plotted, schemed, cheated, and had tempted a man to betray his Lord in order to catch the Lord Jesus. And they paid money for it, 30 pieces of silver. And then they were too nice. They were too correct. They were too right. They were going to be too accurate and too regular that they wouldn't take this money back because there was supposed to be some ethics about it. That's one of the strangest things in the world. You can find people get so interested in ethics who'll turn right around and deny the Lord without any hesitation whatever. And that's what is happening here. These people actually brought him to Pilate to get him condemned to death, but they were such accurate people, I mean such proper people, so right in their conduct, they wouldn't even go into the courtroom. I must confess that to this day, I have great difficulty not feeling sarcastic about that. It's hard for me to let that go by without almost being cynical about much that you call religion. And I think that it's one of the things that many people in the world see and brings a bad name on the whole thing. But let us not stop there. Let us go on now and notice in verses 29 to 30. Pilate then went unto them and said, "What accusation bring you against this man?" They answered and said, "If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up to thee," which is evading the question. He said to them straight out, "What have you got against him?" They said, "Well, you wouldn't have thought we'd brought him here if we hadn't had something against him, would you?" Well, if you recognize it, that's just running around the bush. They hated to come right out openly and be specific about what they really had in mind, but it comes out. Then said Pilate unto them, "Take ye him and judge him according to your law." And the Jews said, therefore, "It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. We'd have done it, and we have already judged him according to our law, but we want him to die." That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying by what death he should die. So Pilate had him. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said to him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it of thee? And Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Actually, Pilate didn't have any idea why they were accusing him. And then he told them. He told Pilate, My kingdom is not from of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. That is, it's not out of this world. Now, actually, this brings to our mind, as I say, that the Lord Jesus, while he is king, and he was king, he's not king in a political sense. He's not king in any civil sense, as far as national government is concerned, local government is concerned. He is not king over unbelievers at all. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, that's true. But just now, the only people that he is king over are those who willingly receive him and who enter into his kingdom by being born again. Our God and Heavenly Father, add thy blessing to us as we come unto thee and incline our hearts to yield ourselves to our Lord and King. For his name's sake we ask it. Amen.